Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Arrrr!
Today is March 2nd, and this is episode 22. We're going to be discussing the Sony Meeting 2013 event. Before we get started today, though, I have a little bit of housekeeping and a sad note. You probably noticed that this week we're talking a lot about the PS4 announcement, which might be a spoiler for the rest of the episode, that happened 2 weeks ago by the time you hear this. This was, strictly speaking, unplanned. A bout of the plague hit the GameBuoy podcasting vessel, also known as GameBuoy Studios, and we had no choice but to postpone recording until the quarantine could be safely cleared. Luckily, this has given us time to reflect on this rather notable several weeks. And to make it up to you lovely folks out there in Radioland, we're bringing you another one of our patented, note, not actually patented, jumbo-sized episodes of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast. Thank you for your fealty, and we're sorry for abusing your bandwidth. Second, and here's that bad news I mentioned, Japanese video game auteur Kenji Eno passed away on February 20th. We record today in his honor, and if you're not familiar with his brilliant work, we highly suggest that you check out the D games available in the U.S. for PS1 and Dreamcast to understand why this Suda 51 circa 1999 will be missed by those that love the craft. And with that, let's get this show on the road. Or possibly see. So today we're going to be talking about the Sony Meeting 2012, like I mentioned.
2013.
Dope! And, you know, some other various somewhat related nonsense. But we have some follow-ups first.
We have a lot of follow-ups this week.
Would you like to take this first one? I just talked a lot.
Yeah, we were talking to you last time about the Rayman Legends delay and how controversial that was. Well, the creator of Rayman, Michel Ancel, I apologize if my French is horrible.
Did better than I could.
He and a lot of the other staff from Ubisoft Montpellier have, they did a protest to put out Rayman Legends on Wii U now because it was supposed to be out at this point.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The people who were like directly involved with the development and creation of this great series are not happy about it. And rightfully so. They want their work out, and they don't think it's fair that, you know, it's being pushed back just because they want to put it out on other platforms. Because like we said last time, if this was the reverse, and it was a game like Assassin's Creed 3, they didn't wait for Wii U, and
yeah.
that was Ubisoft too. So,
yeah, frankly, it's jank as hell.
Yeah, so once again, that game is coming out in September. We'll both be playing it, but we are not happy, and I don't know about you, but I'm definitely getting the Wii U version because that's what it was meant to be on anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we talked a little bit last week about how Ubisoft was going to be releasing an expanded demo for the Wii U. That plan has been augmented a little bit. We're now getting instead an online competitive challenge mode that'll have, it's going to be free to play. It's going to have leaderboards, challenges to, like, challenge your friends at getting scores.
Will it have a Miiverse
challenge? Hopefully. Hopefully. I love Miiverse.
I love Miiverse, too.
Moving on, another follow-up. One of our favorite games of last year, Journey. The dev team, the guys behind Journey.
That game company.
Confirmed and discussed that making Journey bankrupted the studio. Obviously, they are doing much better now after the Journey project went so well, but their next game is going to be multi-platform. So that'll be good. Obviously, no matter who you are, if you're listening to this, you probably have some platform, so you'll get to experience this brilliance next time they do a game, even if you don't have a PS3.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it just goes to show how passionate the people at that game company are about making their gaming experiences, because, you know, like, they weren't even able to pay some of their employees for a couple months. So, I mean, that's how dedicated they were to, you know, putting out this amazing beautiful experience. So I can't wait to see what's next. And, you know, it's not really a surprise because Journey was the last in the three-game deal with Sony. So, I mean, we kind of expected that it would be multi-platform, but now we have confirmation. So,
yeah,
we definitely, whatever it is, I will be picking it up day one, downloading it, however it's available.
Yep, yep. Next up, of course, we have news that Hideo Kojima-san is going to be delivering a talk at the Games Developers Conference this year, and that it will be featuring the first ever live demo of his much-vaunted Fox Engine.
That kind of makes me want to go to GDC.
Yeah, me too. That's probably going to be a pretty good show, seeing Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes for the first time.
Oh yeah, definitely. And of course, here on Game Buoy, we will be bringing you everything GDC once that rolls around, and not too long from now.
Nope, not too long at all.
So that's cool. We always love hearing more from Kojima-san, and I mean, really a visionary. One of the, I wouldn't say one of the last, but you know, one of the.
He's definitely
most
notable.
Celebrated.
Definitely notable. Big deal, that guy. Next up on our plate, we have Wargaming, the publisher behind such games as World of Tanks and World of Warplanes.
Also known as the other WoW.
Does anyone call it that other than
you? I don't think so.
has purchased the struggling games developer Gas-Powered Games. You might recall we talked about Gas-Powered Games not too long ago. And it looks like they, you know, found a buyer for their company. So hopefully this is the sign of things turning around for those guys.
Yeah, we always like a happy ending.
It's true.
And that wasn't a double entendre.
No, because if it was, I would slap you.
Yeah, that would not really translate well to radio.
The sound of the slap would be great to listen to, I'm sure.
Well, it's not going to happen. Wargaming, of course, isn't talking about their plans much in the way that, kind of similar to how Crytek isn't really talking about their plans for Vigil, but, I mean, so that's not a big surprise, but, you know, Gas-Powered Games, cool group of people, so we're glad that they were saved.
Yeah. Yeah, even studios I don't like, and I do happen to like Gas-Powered Games, but even studios I don't like, I do prefer to see things have a happy ending.
Indeed.
Also, it looks like in the THQ saga, we have two news updates. These are both follow-ups. First up, Take-Two is going to be publishing WWE games. WWE and Take-Two have seemingly agreed to a deal regarding the WWE 2014 game slated for arrival this fall.
I'm here for that, honestly.
Me too.
Make my own wrestler. Make him super sexy.
Last I heard, Yuke's, the Japanese studio that makes most of those games, is still on board to make this new one. So, fingers crossed.
Oh, excellent.
Also notable, the THQ Legacy IP auction that we have been sort of waiting for a few weeks here on Game Buoy, has finally started. This is, of course, the auction where IPs such as Darksiders, Homeworld, Red Faction, these are all going to be sold off. And the final bids for the properties are due April 15th.
Yeah, so it's still a little bit of a ways off before we really will know how this all resolves. But, you know,
in the meantime,
hopefully Platinum Games will somehow get the rights to Darksiders.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Fingers crossed, baby.
I mean, what would be a better match? But, you know, we're just hoping that, you know, some of these great franchises can be saved.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Shin Megami Tensei 4 for the 3DS is going to be hitting in Japan on May 23rd. It will also have a special Shin Megami Tensei 4-themed 3DS XL scheduled for release on launch day, with the game pre-installed.
Now, I obviously don't have, you know, much of a history with Shin Megami Tensei, so I'm not aware of how popular it's been in Japan over the years, like, but it just really seems like it's coming back with a vengeance. I don't know if that's...
It's a big deal.
I don't know if it's, like, building back up or if it's just always been popular, but I mean, it seems like we're hearing a lot about Shin Megami Tensei and, its various iterations.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's been a big deal for a long time, and it continues to be a big deal.
It might just be that it's similar to how Fire Emblem has kind of really taken off in the past decade over here in the States. It might just be a similar thing for Shin Megami Tensei over here, that we're like really...
Oh, definitely. Especially post-Persona 3, I would say that sort of the notability of the series, especially in the U.S., is at an all-time high.
Well, you know, people are out there looking for a good JRPG, so...
Yep, and you know, this is great. I'm happy to see this game coming to the 3DS. I'm happy to see it getting a release with its special 3DS XL. And, you know, since Atlas is pretty good with these games, I'm sure we'll get it here in the U.S. Down the line.
Definitely. And speaking of great JRPGs...
The free-to-play Kingdom Hearts browser game is going to be called Kingdom Hearts Key.
Now, let's explain what it actually... Well, I mean, it's called Kingdom Hearts Key, but... If you looked at the logo for it, it looks like it's Kingdom Hearts X, but it's not 10. And that's the Greek letter Chi.
Yeah, so this is actually a thing in the canon already. If you played Birth by Sleep, you already know exactly what Key means in this instance.
Excellent. And apparently you can get some... Well, this is for Japan, presumably, because... If you pre-order Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix, you get some bonus items.
Excellent. That's awesome. You know, I have a import copy on order.
In Key, not in 1.5.
Yeah, no, but hopefully, you know, maybe I'll create an account in Kingdom Hearts Key and play that too.
Excellent.
And then I'll let everyone out there in Radioland know how it is, and they will probably judge me super harshly.
To follow up, I'm back from one of our longest-running... Game Buoy stories. Mass Effect 3 just had the last multiplayer DLC, the Reckoning DLC, just hit not too long ago, but Citadel is the name of the final DLC single-player campaign. And, you know, it'll just give you another chance to hang out with Commander Shepard and the crew, so that comes out on Monday, March 5th.
So by the time you're hearing this, you're going to be playing it, probably, or, you know, complaining about Origin.
My bad, it's a Tuesday, not a Monday.
Yeah.
So start that new playthrough of Mass Effect 1 now.
Oh, God, don't. Just don't.
Also, in Kingdom Hearts news, we should have talked about this a minute ago.
Oh, girl, way to steal my thunder.
Well, fine.
Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix is coming to North American PS3s this fall.
See, we should have just done that as, like, a Jenna and Tracy, like, St. Patrick's Day, where we're both taking the house thing.
So, for those of you who are still waiting on the PS Vita version of Bioshock,
You didn't have anything else to say about the fact that Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix is coming to the PS3 this fall for us?
No, because I have a copy of the Japanese release pre-ordered that I'll have in, like, 2 weeks.
Way to rub it in.
So, for those of you waiting for the PS Vita version of Bioshock, we here at Game Buoy Studios would advise you not to hold your breath. Joystick ran an interview with the studly Ken Levine, and, oh, actually it might be IGN with whom this conversation happened. My bad. But basically saying that, you know, they announced the game when they had a plan for it, but that no actual work has happened on it, even now. To this day, no work has happened on it. So...
Yeah. I think where your confusion was is now that I'm looking at this article, which we always will link to you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Is that back in 2011 at E3, he talked to IGN, but this article is from Joystick that is following up on it, so... That's, I think, maybe where you got a little confused.
Yeah. Next up, we've got two new DLC characters announced for the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. As we discussed last week, We knew that there was some more DLC coming. Looks like the first batch of this new wave of DLC for this game includes the characters Zeus from God of War, of course, and Isaac Clarke from Dead Space.
Cool.
As well as that, there's going to be a new stage that is a mashup of Medieval and The Unfinished Swan, which will almost certainly be awesome, because, you know, Medieval's awesome and Unfinished Swan was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I should bring my Vita over next time I'm here at the Game Buoy Studios, and once this hits, and we can have some Zeus, Isaac Clarke, Medieval realness.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe we'll just play Mario Party again.
Probably we'll just play Mario Party again, but maybe. Following up from our recent Rumor Has It segment, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag has been leaked in, the announcement for it has been leaked in full, including the trailer, which was initially meant to premiere online on Monday, March 4th. So probably the day you're listening to this, possibly a few days earlier, you know, depending on when you listen to this. Either way, it should be out there and accessible to you. We have watched the leak trailer, and I think it looks superb.
I'm a fan. I mean, it involves pirates, so obviously I'm a fan of that. And, you know, I have a little bit of attitude about, like, I'm not going to get into it because it would involve spoilers of Assassin's Creed 3, which I don't want to spoil games for our listeners out there, but I guess my concern is I thought that they would be able to, that they have enough of a following at this point that they wouldn't need to rely on the crutch of their little sci-fi story, but I guess they got to do what they got to do.
I'm here in large part for the sci-fi story, so.
Which is so funny, because back in the day, you were like, ugh, I cannot even with this sci-fi story bullshit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, the sci-fi part of it lends the user interface things that I like. The whole synchronization framework and everything. I just like all that. I don't really need it to be recontextualized for a non-sci-fi story. So.
I guess, I thought that with the story of Desmond kind of wrapping up in...
Yeah, no, I don't really care about the story in that context, but the framework of a sci-fi story,
yeah, but
I think suits it really well.
What I'm gathering is that it's going to continue the narrative of the main sci-fi story. It's not the framework that I'm necessarily, concerned with. Like, the thing is, the Lady Liberty, or as we know it over here, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation... Was just like, it was like an Abstergo training thing or something. So, I mean, it still had that framework.
Did you not finish it?
Lady Liberty?
Yeah.
Did anyone finish it? That game was buggy as shit.
Oh, that's a good answer. That game had a specific purpose for existing.
Oh, that ties into the Desmond narrative?
Ish.
I don't really care. I don't really care about Desmond Miles too much. But anyway... I just talked about Assassin's Creed way too much.
Next and last of our follow-ups for the day, the Bravely Default Flying Fairy official Twitter account has tweeted that they can hear Western fans. I view this as a very good thing. There have been rumors floating about that we're getting closer and closer to the possibility of Bravely Default Flying Fairy coming to the U.S., and I certainly hope that that is a thing that really happens.
Maybe an E3 2013 announcement?
That's sort of what I'm hoping. But with that, I think we're done with our follow-ups, and it might be time to get some fresh news on the place.
I think so.
So, I think it's time.
News. 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 Oh my god. News. So, first up on our news list, is a very, very sad and sudden piece of news. IGN had to lay off a bunch of its staff in a restructuring of the company. That unfortunately meant, and I apologize if I'm a little bit struggling with words here, because this is very difficult for us to talk about, this meant that they are closing down sites such as UGO.com, GameSpy. The part that really hits hard, it's closest to home for us, is that 1UP.com is going to be closing down. And, you know, it's because of Ziff Davis, and they're trying to restructure, they don't really see the need for three different gaming sites. So, yeah, we don't really know if these sites will stay online somehow, if the content will be still available. But, I mean, for those of us who are really passionate about good quality games journalism and great features, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to not focus on GameSpy and UGO, but I mean, obviously 1UP is, we owe a lot of who we are here at GameBuie to the immense quality of the writing and the podcast over at 1UP.
I want to give a very specific shout out right this moment, to the 1UP.com podcast known as Retronauts. You know, I frequently talk about how in putting this show together that we do here for you every couple weeks, I often talk about how we take our cues from Orange Lounge Radio, who we do like quite a bit. But it's probably more accurate really to say that we fashion ourselves strongly after the incredible listening experience and educational experience of Jeremy Parrish's work over on Retronauts.
And you know, the great thing about Retronauts is that it's timeless, because it's not, and I'm not saying that GameBuie is not timeless. I hope that we will be considered timeless one day, but, you know, we do bring you a lot of current news, but the thing about a retro podcast is that that's timeless. Like,
it doesn't matter when it is. You could look at an episode they did years back on a Final Fantasy game or Super Mario RPG or something.
Or Castlevania, because Jeremy Parrish just put out a book called The Anatomy of Castlevania, which you should go buy and support him.
These episodes they did, these really incredible episodes they did, really, even still, you listen to it years after they recorded it, and it's still perfectly relevant because they're looking at the design of these games, they're dissecting it, they're looking at what makes these games tick, talking about anecdotes that are related to the development of the game, talking about experiences they've had, talking to the people who have made these games. It's just a really incredible resource out there. And if you have any interest in retro gaming at all and really being aware of some of these older games, I couldn't possibly recommend enough. I couldn't possibly recommend more highly that you peruse their archive sooner rather than later and just get all of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do know, confirmed that, like, Jeremy Parrish, for instance, is already started blogging on IGN and will be continuing with the company, but, you know, some of the other staff are just, you know, have to go somewhere else, and, you know, every time, and if you're someone like us who really has a strong fondness for 1UP, you know, please go and, you know, tell the folks out there, especially the ones who are no longer have a home, how important they were to you. And, you know, it would be impossible to link everything related to this on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
But I mean, the weekend that this news hit, I did not cry, but I mean, I'm still getting a little bit emotional right here, because I mean, 1UP, we talked about back in the day, and I apologize, I'll wrap this up soon because this is usually a lot longer than we spend on a news topic, but back in, I believe it was episode 6, we talked about the whole issue of gaming journalism as a boys club. There was that disgustingly offensive comment made about Felicia Day, and you know, so we specifically mentioned that 1UP is really, you know, was one of the last great sites. And, you know, to see that gone, you know, it's really, really tough to see such a great site gone. Well, I mean, it's not gone yet, but, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen to it. So I feel like I'm going to have to, like, save all the features that I loved and, you know, just save them in a PDF or something, because those are going to be gone. And, you know, not to name other names, but other clickbaiting sites are still alive and well, so...
I think
the point that I'm saying, and I'm sorry, I'll let you say, have the final thought on this, but I think what's most significant is that it's a strong, talented voice group of individuals in the gaming journalism field are, you know, not silenced, but, you know, it's a huge loss for us as gamers to not have 1UP anymore. Or, you know, I'm sure other people feel the same way about GameSpy, who have had a long relationship with this, but, you know, that's why we here at GameBuoy are trying to give you the news and views that may not be on your radar, because this is something we're passionate about. And, Captain Spike, I need to let you just wrap this up, because I could just eulogize 1UP all day, and I know we have a lot to talk about today.
So yeah, this is super sad. Moving on.
That's all you're gonna say?
No, I think that we're all much worse off for the lack of having a site like this, moving forward. But, you know, most of these guys have been in the games writing game for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years at this point. I don't think any of them are going anywhere. I wish them all luck on their future endeavors, and we'll all follow them wherever they write for next.
Yeah, so if you're out there and part of any of these sites, but especially...
I thought you said you was done.
Especially if you happen to be a 1UP, a member, past or present member of, well, past now at this point, member of 1UP, thank you for everything that you brought us.
We thank you. We thank you.
So now on a little bit of lighter news, there's a new Batman Arkham game coming this year, probably not a surprise. People like Batman, people like the Arkham games.
Yeah, no, they're really good. They're super good, in fact, so I'm really excited about that.
So, we don't really know much about it yet, but it's coming.
Tank, Tank, Tank is going free-to-play in Europe.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
It's kind of a follow-up, but not really, because we've talked about Tank, Tank, Tank before.
It's awful.
Is it awful?
You know, to be fair, I rented it from Gamefly. And all I could think while playing it was that it felt like a free-to-play mobile game. So this is a good choice for Tank, Tank, Tank.
See, it's just looking at, like, the interface of it and everything, and this little screenshot here, which you can... We'll link to you the joystick article over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
It looks like it would be, like, an eShop game for, like, not even, like, $9.99.
Yeah, so I rented it. Because it retails for like $49.99.
This was a retail game.
Yes.
And I just...
And you just...
In other news, speaking of the eShop, because, sorry, we don't need to talk about Tank, Tank, Tank anymore.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
The best part of Tank, Tank, Tank is apparently its name.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
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 And speaking of games that are going to be... Speaking of games that are going to be on the eShop... Pokemon Rumble U is...
Tank, Tank, Tank.
Oh my gosh.
I'll stop.
Are you being like a Pokemon? Tank, 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 Tank. Tank,
Tank. Pokemon Rumble U will be coming out in Japan.
I was trying to tell them that.
For the Wii U on the eShop this spring.
Tank, Tank, Tank.
Stop what you're doing.
Take your own advice. So according to CeraVe.net and Bulba News, both great Pokemon resources if you're a Pokemaniac like me, over in Japan, it's going to be called Pokemon Scramble U, but it's part of the Pokemon Rumble franchise, I guess, at this point. It's going to have 100 of the 649 current Pokemon available to face off, but it said all 649 will be in the game, so maybe, like, just cheering in the crowd or something, or, like, oh, you need a Chansey to heal you up or something. I don't know. I haven't played the first Pokemon Rumble, so... That wasn't the one where they were like little wind-up toys, were they?
I have no idea. I am not a Pokemaniac, so I'm not sure.
But yeah, we're expecting this to be coming before X and Y, probably. just because it seems to tie in more with the black and white generation.
This March, the indie PC surprise hit Terraria will be coming to consoles near you.
That's all we know for now.
Yeah, that's about it.
Terraria is very cool, even better with friends.
It's like Metroidvania meets Minecraft. I'm a huge fan. I have it on PC. I've put in 60 plus hours on it. I can't get enough.
We love our indie games, so we support them.
So there was a Nintendo Direct event early in the month.
By which you mean February.
Oh gosh, yes. So this was, I want to say it there was been, right on there, or there, around Valentine's
there were,
Day.
Yeah. It was right around Valentine's Day. There were two Nintendo Directs this month.
I would have
month.
Gotten to that during the intro news from the second one.
Okay, whatever. We just wanted to put it out there. Now this first,
stop talking.
This first Nintendo Direct was about the year of Luigi.
Yeah, I don't really think that's compelling information.
Except that there was a lot of great Luigi announcements.
Words no one said ever.
So you mean that you're not excited about the upcoming...
They're doing DLC for New Super Mario Bros. U. It is called New Super Luigi U, and it is basically new levels for every level in the game. Like, new stage design for every level in the game.
Featuring only Luigi.
Featuring only Luigi and single-player content.
Yeah, so it's, like, basically a huge... It's, like, basically an expansion.
Yeah, well, it's literally an expansion. It's not just basically. Like, that's literally what it is. It is a single-player, like, super hard mode, really hard new maps for every level in the game, just cool-ass expansion.
So for those out there who are downing Nintendo and their DLC initiatives, I think that's a pretty good statement of intent.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Also announced...
Wow, you just really want to... For someone who is not excited about the Year of Luigi...
I'm not even talking about a Luigi game now.
Okay, fine. Get your announcement out of the way so I can talk about more Luigi news.
Also announced, we have a 3DS port of the Wii smash hit Donkey Kong Country Returns. Based on the video footage that Nintendo has shown so far, it looks like a more than adequate port, actually. It looks really quite good.
Yeah, it looks great.
And, you know, if there are no motions that are, there's no, blah, blah, blah. If there are no techniques that are mapped to motion sensing, which was a problem for many during Donkey Kong Country Returns on Wii, this could very well end up being the definitive version of the game.
Yeah, agreed.
Also announced at this Nintendo Direct, Animal Crossing New Leaf will be coming to the U.S. on June 9th.
Well, North America, so don't forget our friends in Canada.
And I know that we have a few listeners over in the European countries.
European country.
I had a frog in my throat. I couldn't help it. You guys will be getting Animal Crossing New Leaf on June 14th.
So don't have to wait too much longer after us. So to coincide with the Year of Luigi, those of you who are Mario and Luigi fans, not as in the characters, but as in the Mario and Luigi franchise, Mario and Luigi Dream Team is going to be hitting this summer.
And, you know, I have to say, this is more of an RPG game in the style of the Paper Marios and, you know, Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story et al.
Than Mario Sticker Star was.
This information retroactively lets me appreciate Super Mario Sticker Star more. Because now I'm no longer upset that Sticker Star isn't an RPG. It's just its weird little whatever the hell it is. Because I know that, Mario and Luigi Dream Team is going to be an RPG.
Yes. And it's kind of interesting because basically taking a page from the Super Mario Bros. 2 story, it takes place in Luigi's dream, just like how, sorry to spoil you if you didn't know this, but Mario Brothers 2, all was Mario's dream. But
I thought it took place in the Mushroom Kingdom with poison one-ups and waves of wind that will blow you into pits if you don't jump correctly.
Yeah, except not even Japan likes to admit that that was really Super Mario Brothers 2, let's be real. But anyways,
you have me on that.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team, what we saw in the Nintendo Direct is, like, you, like, twist his nose around or something, and it'll do something in the dream world, and, like, It looks pretty cool. Like, I've never really been super interested in the Mario and Luigi games. I mean, it's not that they thought they looked bad or anything. I just never really cared
enough.
They're
actually
great. I've heard, and, you know, I've never really cared enough to investigate, I guess. But, like, there's some things where you can have, like, multiple Luigis, like, doing stuff. It looks really neat. So, also in the year of Luigi, of course, the big focus, I wouldn't say the main focus, but one of the big things that was talked about was Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which is coming pretty soon. And if you buy a 3DS XL between March 21st and April 30th, and you register on Club Nintendo along with registering either Luigi's Mansion or Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, you can get a free game from the eShop. These games include Super Mario 3D Land, great game. Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask, I haven't played that one, but Professor Layton's always a good time. Art Academy, Lessons for Everyone, which seems kind of neat. Star Fox 64 3D, or Freaky Forms Deluxe, Your Creations Alive.
Ooh.
And the joystick article says, it's your choice, so you're not stuck with Freaky Forms.
The funny thing about that is, I know quite a few people who really like Freaky Forms.
Cool. So I'm like, I think I already registered my 3DS on XL on Club Nintendo. So I should probably do this because I'm getting Dark Moon for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
We didn't really talk about Dark Moon because we already knew that it was coming and we kind of talked about that in the past, but it looks great. They showed some video of it and I'm excited. I'm a big fan of Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, me too.
I'm also a fan of Mario Golf. Of course, Camelot's been helming that franchise for years now. I mean, since the N64 days, right? They were on board for that one. And honestly, my love of Mario and golfing goes back to NES Open, back on the NES. So that'll be teeing off on 3DS this summer, so look forward to that if you like Mario Golf games. Camelot's always done a good job with those.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there.
And do you want to talk about these 3DS eShop releases that are coming up?
As a matter of fact, I do. Nintendo, also at this event, announced four different eShop games. The one that I want to talk about the most, of course, is Kerploosh!
Kerploosh!
This is a puzzle game about dropping things down a well. I don't really know much more about it than that, other than it has the name Kerploosh.
It sounds awesome.
And it comes out March 7th in North America.
Very soon.
March 11th, Dylan the Armadillo Cowboy returns in Dylan's Rolling Western The Last Ranger.
I just have to say, I don't know how I missed the first Dylan's Rolling Western.
It's awesome.
Because I was looking at the, you know, video and stuff of The Last Ranger, the new one coming out, and I'm like, how did I not know about this? I clearly need to spend more time in the 3DS eShop.
Oh, yeah, eShop is great. I have, like, more than 40 games off of it. It's so good.
That's awesome.
It is, like, there's some really incredible software on there. Gunman Clive is super good on there. Yeah, just look up Dylan, Sakura Samurai or whatever it was called, and Gunman Clive. Just look those games up and you're going to be doing good.
That's excellent. I mean, because don't discount these 3DS eShop releases just because they're like, oh, little indie games or whatever. We're obviously very, very passionate about the indie games and the so-called arcade titles, which often have better experiences than things like Tank, Tank, Tank,
Nintendo,
which are retail games.
Nintendo also revealed Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, which brings the much-loved puzzle series to the 3DS for the first time. There was not a release date announced for North America, but Europe was announced that they'll be getting it in the Q2 2013 window, so
yeah.
One has to assume that we'll be getting it in North America before too long.
Yeah, Mario Donkey Kong is another one that I haven't really checked out, but
I like those games tremendously.
Yeah, they seem really neat. And what will be coming very soon, starting with the demo on March 14th, is Harmonite, which we talked about.
Girl, I was supposed to be talking about these four games, remember?
Yeah, but this is a Game Freak title, so
girl, I like Game Freak way more than you.
Except for all the shade you throw at Pokemon.
Yeah, because I don't think Pokemon's the best game they've ever made.
Maybe not, but it's also an amazing game that they made. Anyway.
Educate yourself.
Do you want to rewind this a little bit and then
nope,
you can announce
just
this?
Just go for it.
Okay, wow. Okay, so starting on March 14th, you can get a demo of the rhythm platformer Harmonite, which is, of course, as we just had an argument about, from the talented folks over at Game Freak. And the full game arrives on March 28th, so I am here for that. Would you like to take this next one, Captain Spike?
I don't know, do I?
I'll let you, I won't interrupt you this time.
Wii Street U is now available for download for free for a limited time.
Now this, of course, is... Kidding, go ahead.
I wish I could transmit this Alyssa Edwards realness I just served up on you, because, like, what are you doing? Anyway. Wii Street U is now available for download for free on your Wii U for a limited time. I experimented with this program quite a bit, took it over to Disneyland, took it over to the streets of Japan, found a really cool restaurant where I was able to walk into the restaurant and look around the restaurant in real time using the Wii U pad. It was just actually really incredible. Like, I didn't think, I was like, oh, this is such a dumb app, but it's free, so I'll get it.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it sounded kind of like, eh, whatever, and I haven't downloaded it yet because
but
of that.
It's actually
but
so cool.
But hearing you talk about it, I'm like, I want to go look around Disneyland.
It's unfortunately in Disneyland, there's only like one spot you can look around, and then you have like
what
a
spot
whole
is it?
It's right on Main Street.
Okay, but that's still magical. And
yeah, like, right? So you're
I'll
like,
put on some like Main Street music and get a make a Mickey Mouse pretzel or something.
Yeah, right? That'd be perfect.
And then just cry because I'm not at Disneyland.
Well, you always cry about not having things, so that would be normal.
You know what I am going to... I'm not going to cry, but I'm going to be sad about not having any more.
1UP.com.
Well, yes, but also...
Rock Band has announced that new DLC releases will be ending permanently in April.
Okay, to be fair, I totally stole the thunder on Harmonite. So,
Girl, just roll with it.
No, I'm just saying that you had the right to interrupt me because I was about to take this one, and you had the right to take that from me, so. Yeah, so they are not making any more Rock Band DLC.
Yeah, it really is very quite sad.
And that honestly means rest in peace, Rock Band.
Pretty much. You know, there's gonna be some more releases through April. And they have said
some
that the last
great ones too.
They have said that the last release of the DLC for the game is going to be very fitting, and that we're all going to be very happy with it. So, I'm hoping that it's something epic as hell.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess it's not a huge surprise. Guitar Hero, kick the bucket.
Well, even more than that, the next generation is upon us. Backwards compatibility is not really a thing.
Yeah, but honestly, these types of rhythm games aren't really a thing anymore either.
Well, that's very much my point, is that it would take a lot of money to go next gen with this franchise, and I don't think it's worth that level of money
for especially,
them.
Not especially with the success that Harmonix has had with Dance Central, I mean, which is huge, and it's a great game, but, you know, I love Rock Band.
Yeah, I'm very sad about this, but at the same time, I couldn't say I'm exactly surprised either.
And you know, with such a great library of both on-disc and DLC selections to choose from, even with nothing more coming, we've got enough Rock Band to keep us happy for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, we're 50 minutes in and we're still in our news segment, so.
Oh my goodness.
Let's chop, chop, chop it up.
Kick, punch, it's all in the mind.
If you want to test chop, me, chop. I'm sure you'll find.
That Nintendo is returning to Gamescom in 2013.
Yes, exactly so. Does what it says on the tin, really. I don't know how much
we need
to...
Yeah, they skipped out last year, didn't they?
Yes, I feel like they've skipped out a couple times, but yeah. they're back this year for sure.
So,
also
excellent.
Up on the plate, we have Nintendo releasing the proper 60Hz refresh rate F-Zero onto Europe's Wii U Virtual Console. This is notable as they previously only had a 50 hertz refresh rate version that ran laggy and slow, as is true of most games of that era. That sucks, and it's awesome that Nintendo is remedying this for the Virtual Console release.
Yeah, because of course, TVs in Europe, as far as I understand, don't run at 50 hertz anymore.
Well, yeah, and now it's all just HD TVs. Like, the whole PAL thing is not a thing anymore.
Really? The era of PAL is...
I believe so.
Is over?
I believe so. Do-do-do-do. And then we had another Nintendo Direct.
I cannot get enough of Nintendo Direct, and apparently other people are starting to take a piece of that.
You want a piece of me?
Because we'll talk about that a little later, but yeah.
So first up on the docket, we have Nintendo announcing at Nintendo Direct, of course, that Zelda, the Oracle of Ages, as well as Zelda, the Oracle of Seasons, will be hitting the 3DS eShop in Japan pretty soon. All of note here is that it has also been confirmed for release in the US, but without any release window announced for us.
Yeah, now this second Nintendo Direct was just Japan only, right?
Yes, that is correct. And it was largely just information about games with very few announcements. There were really two, the one we just discussed and the announcement of an app for Wii U in Japan that when running will allow 3DS players of Monster Hunter 3G Ultimate, however you prefer to refer to it, to sort of tunnel their network connection and thus play the 3DS game online, which the 3DS game can't do on its own for whatever reason. So that's neat. I mean, it's not exactly the biggest deal in the world, but it's cool. I'll just, you know, if you want to play it online to me and you have a Wii U, just get the Wii U version that's online, but whatever. Yep. You have something to say about that?
Not really.
Oh, also of note, Capcom has announced, and this is really a follow-up to something we discussed last week, that they are putting together a patch for the North American release of Monster Hunter, which hasn't even come out yet, to allow North American players and players in other parts of the world to play cross regionally, which, if you recall, there was some amount of complaint last week when it was announced that the servers were all going to be segregated by region.
Yeah, so that's good news.
Next up, not related to Nintendo at all.
Except that apparently Sony thinks that Nintendo Directs are a good idea because they did a little Vita Direct sort of thing.
Yeah, except there was nothing of value to discuss except that in Japan, and Japan only, the PS Vita is getting a pretty deep price cut.
And that's actually been effective for
a
couple
week
days.
Or two now.
No, actually it was starting February 28th, so.
Oh, okay.
If you live in Japan by any chance.
By the time you get to listen to this episode, they'll be cheaper.
No, it already will have been cheaper even before you listen to this episode.
Yes, but by the time they listen to it, it's cheaper.
Well, I'm sure they already know that if they care about a Vita, but...
Probably they don't. That's why we're talking about it.
But the thing that's kind of notable here for those of you who don't live in Japan, which is probably most of our listener base, is that there is no current plan to price drop the Vita in North America, which is...
You already own a Vita.
I know, but I think that more people should have access to a Vita, and I think that a lower price point is a smarter decision. So,
as the market stands right now, I would not recommend people buy Vitas.
No, I'm saying wait for it to price drop.
And if it doesn't price drop, don't get it. Persona 2, Eternal Punishment, has finally reached PS1 Classics this week. This is notable for several things, but as a brief aside, it currently does not work for PSP or Vita downloads. This is unintentional, and Atlus has confirmed that they are looking into fixing it because it is meant very specifically to be accessible on PSP and Vita. The reason why I pointed it out that way is that this is taking the place of a potential North American release of the PSP remake slash up port of Persona 2 Eternal Punishment. You may recall that we got the remake slash port of the first Persona 2 game last year.
Now, if I recall correctly, wasn't Innocent Sin the one that wasn't originally available?
Yes, that is correct. So, I mean, we do at least have all of the games available on PSP slash Vita in the US at this point.
It's just kind of interesting that, correct me if I'm wrong, but Eternal Punishment was the one that was available back in the day.
Well, yeah,
in 2000.
That's why it's getting a
PS1 Classic.
PS1 Classic release.
And it was Innocent Sin, but people were still like, why don't we have Eternal Punishment for our PSP or Vita? So now they can, hopefully soon.
Also notable, Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus R has been confirmed for a North American release on Vita later this year.
Cool. I like Guilty Gear.
And rounding out what has been quite a Shin Megami Tensei full episode of Game Buoy, Devil Survivor 2 Break Code has been announced for 3DS. This is, of course, a upgraded port of the DS release of Devil Survivor 2. This will have new storyline content, much like the 3DS port of the first Devil Survivor had. You may remember that as Devil Survivor Overclocked.
Yes.
So with that, we have finally reached the end of our news segment.
All right. So let's get on a roll, rolling in the deep.
Rolling in the deep. I'm sorry, yes, with...
Rumor has it.
As you know, Rumor Has It is our new recurring segment on Game Buoy Podcast. We're going to take a look at hearsay that's gotten too big to ignore while sticking to the standard Game Buoy Podcast stories. We are not well informed on all of this stuff. Take all of this speculation with a grain of salt. But, as always, a little observation can often go a long way.
Yeah, you know, we don't want to ignore the rumors, but we want to specifically mention that they are rumors, unlike Kotaku, who would just run a full headline with
them. I'm not going to shade anyone in particular, but just, yeah, we don't want you to get confused, we don't want you to misunderstand us.
Because in all seriousness, you know, sometimes rumors are run as full stories, and wheelbarrow out of control.
Yes, we've actually discussed that quite a bit on this show. This week we have a single little rumor we wanted to comment on. And that is to say, there's been a lot of buzz for a long time about Wii U getting a port of Kid Icarus Uprising, the 3DS instant classic that pretty much everyone had an opinion on last year. Further cementing this rumor as a potential likelihood, Amazon.fr, which is the French Amazon website, has added an official product listing for Kid Icarus Uprising for Wii U.
Yes. And, I mean, that seems pretty official-ish. I mean, I don't see Amazon doing something like that if it wasn't actually going to be a thing.
There is some precedent for Amazon to put up postings for games that are rumored but don't happen. However, they're far and few between. This is usually one of those where there's smoke, there's fire things. Amazon in particular, as well as Gamefly, premature listings going up are sort of one of the usually reliable ways of finding out if a rumored game is really going to happen or not. So I'm going to say this seems pretty likely.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Of course, it's a rumor, and this is certainly as far as it gets from official confirmation, but keep your eyes peeled, see what you hear, think about it a little bit. I think the pieces really do fall into place and come together. Unless you have anything else to say, I think it's time we start our discussion.
Yeah, let's get this show on the road.
Let's get this show
on the sea, because we're pirates.
How about those of you out there in Radioland? Did any of you guys hear about this announcement Sony made?
Oh, I doubt they have heard it, because it wasn't really like a big announcement or anything.
Oh, I know, right? Total Game Buoy story. Like, totally left of center on the dial. The PlayStation 4 has been officially announced for a 2013 release.
And nobody was surprised.
I think a lot of people were really surprised that Sony was going to announce it, but it was very clear that this is what the media event was for. So yeah. No one expected a PlayStation 4 in 2013.
That's what I meant. But once we heard the buzz for this event.
As soon as Sony said, hey, we're having this event, it's a big deal, everyone was like,
oh,
shit.
We were even talking about that. Like, really, Sony? You're really going to put it out this year? But I'm actually, my tune has changed a little bit about it. A little bit, mostly, maybe, kind of. But we'll get to that later. Let's talk about the PS4. Like, the core of the PS4.
When you say the core, I assume you mean these crazy-ass motherfucking specs.
Yeah, let's get down to
Pardon
basics.
My French.
Let's get down to basics here. Fundamentals.
Well, you know, the most notable thing here to me, of course, is that apparently a lot of these parts are sort of, somewhat standard for the sake of ease of use.
Oh, so you mean no more cell processors?
Well, exactly so, which has its own pluses and minuses, of course. As we previously discussed in one of our earlier bullet point discussions on the news, there will not be backwards compatibility with the PlayStation 4. I should say the PlayStation 4 won't have backwards compatibility with the PlayStation 3.
Did we talk about that?
They are... Yeah, we were just in one of our news things. I mentioned about Rock Band that it wasn't going to be backwards compatible. So
okay, well, that was more of a... Okay.
That's what I meant, that it was an aside, not that we, like, discussed it. We're discussing it now.
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
LOL, learn to think.
Rude!
So, much in the similar way as the Wii U has gotten some interesting flack for having a somewhat weak CPU and being very GPU-heavy, the PlayStation 4 follows a somewhat similar design. There was, in particular, a really interesting demo being showed off at this announcement where most of the architecture and rendering and what have you was all being run on the GPU rather than the CPU, which is how things, I guess, currently are done. So that's interesting. I have some really... It makes me somewhat optimistic about potential, you know, downscale ports from PS4 to Wii U. Although, obviously, the PS4 is an order of magnitude more powerful than the Wii U. There's no way to get around it. The PS4 looks like a freaking beast.
Yeah, we aren't really surprised that Sony was going for power, but as we will talk about soon, that's not all that they are focusing on, which is good.
Well, so the last spec thing that is really worth mentioning is that this thing is going to have a whopping 8 gigs of GDDR5 RAM.
Say what?
I know, right? Like, that's a big deal. That is some really fast RAM. For the console world, it's a lot of RAM. We've discussed this on the podcast before, but, you know, the PS3, 360, you're looking at numbers of RAM in terms of, like, not gigs, but, like, megs.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
A little basic computer these days has more RAM than a PS3?
Yeah, it has like 526 or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I guess they do only have like 512 megs of RAM, huh?
512, sorry. But yeah, so...
You know, now that you say that, I just think... I always think that they would have more, but...
No, and they're able to do amazing things with what they have, so obviously... Like, you look at a game like God of War, and you consider that, like, oh, well, what is the God of War studio going to be able to do with this crazy GPU and more than tenfold increase in RAM? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Now that you put it into that perspective, that going to be cray. And so, I think Sony will finally actually, because they're like, oh, PS3 looks better, but, like... You know, in practice, there are some games that look much worse on the PS3. So, but I think actually, with this magnitude of power behind it, they will finally be able to say, yeah, look, we've got the most powerful graphics on any console out there right now.
So that was the specs. Let's talk about some of the games that were talked about at this event.
Video games!
The first one, and I'm bringing this up because it's the one I want to talk about the least. In fact, disregard your show notes for a moment, Slagkick, because I'm going to talk about these games in order of excitement.
Okay.
I am least excited about Diablo 3. Like, I'm just going to get that out of the way. Diablo 3 has been announced for PS4. That's awesome. I know that a lot of people like this game. It had, like, crazy sales for a PC game. It was, what, like, 12 million or something?
Yeah.
So that's cool. I own it. I played it, like, I don't know, 60 or 80 hours. It was cool. But I'm done with it. Like, I'm so completely done with it.
Do you know what the best part of that announcement was?
It was that that sexy guy from Blizzard came out on stage.
Yeah, Chris Metzen looking like a fucking sexy stud.
Yeah, no, he could totally get it. In fact, there were a lot of guys at this press conference where I even was tweeting. If you follow me on Twitter, I apologize. But it was just like, ooh, he could get it. Ooh, he could get it. Ooh, he could get
it. Yeah, but Chris Metzen, he is fine. Hello, daddy.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's about the
game. That's about the most... Oh, except that there's some controversial... aspects to this Diablo 3 announcement.
Well, that's about the gayest the show's gonna get now.
But,
in terms of Diablo 3, it's also notable that the PS4 port will not have cross-platform connectivity with the Diablo 3 for Windows.
That's a bit of a deal-breaker for me.
Even though Diablo 3 for PS4 will have patches coming out supposedly as frequently as the PC version, and they will be keeping parity with both versions, so one will not really be better or different from the other.
That's kind of a deal-breaker for me, because if I can't play with my current, you know, characters... I mean, even not that, but I mean, if I can't play with my friend on PC, and I'm on PS4, like, excuse me, Final Fantasy XI was able to do it, Final Fantasy XIV is gonna do it. Why can't a little game like Diablo 3 do it?
Whatever. It's, you know, whatever.
I'm kind of done with Diablo 3 anyway, but...
I'm just so done, I can't even spare the thought to be outraged. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Do whatever you're gonna do,
But hardcore Diablo fans are outraged.
Well, they're outraged because the game clearly had some concessions made in its design to be on consoles. I don't agree with that to the extent that a lot of these hardcore conspiracy theorists think, but I think the game was simplified to some degree, and possibly
the game was simplified to some degree because that's what Blizzard does these days.
Well, I was just gonna say possibly one of the reasons is a multi-platform port, but realistically, I really just think that that's because Blizzard's modus operandi at this point is to simplify to reach a wider market.
That is so crazy. That is the exact same phrasing I was going to use.
So I'm kind of done talking about Diablo 3. Oh, I didn't mention this, but it's also getting a PS3 port.
Meh.
So, cool. Meh. Next up, in order of interest, we have Killzone Shadowfall. They've showed a trailer. It was running at an absurdly high frame rate, I think. I don't know. It looked really smooth. There was a lot going on, whatever. Every other Killzone demo that's ever happened has been bullshot after bullshot. I could not get any enthusiasm up. This would be my least interested game, except that Diablo 3 was shown.
Yeah. We'll see how it actually works. I mean, if it actually looks that good and actually runs that well, then... All right, but we'll see.
I doubt it, though.
We'll see.
Next up, we have Evolution Studios' Drive Club. Cool.
Okay.
It didn't really look that much better than Gran Turismo 5, though, and that was a problem for me.
Yeah, I think Microsoft's kind of lucked out with their Forza exclusivity.
Now, I think that the Gran Turismo series is still better than Forza, although I like Forza Horizon a lot. But this game is just like a pretender to the throne of both of those. Like, this is... I know Evolution Studios is a big deal to race game fanatics, but to me it was just like, this is sloppy, I am not impressed.
Yeah.
This should have... If this is like a serious game, it should have stayed in the oven a little longer.
If I recall, GT5 was kind of controversial because they put out like the basically demo half-finished version as like a, oh, here's to amp you up, and then it took forever for actual GT5 to come out.
Well, that's like a thing that happens with basically all Gran Turismo games.
Oh, does
more
it?
Or less. Like, those games always take 6 or 7 years to be finished, and
They're pimp as hell.
But they're always pimp as hell. On an interesting note, and again, we did not talk about this during our news segment because we had so much going on, but...
Ridge Racer! There was not a Ridge Racer announcement.
At the Destination PlayStation event that just is going on now and maybe just wrapped up today, now that I think about it, apparently executives from Sony indicated that there will be a new Gran Turismo release this year for PS3.
Oh.
We should probably file that under a rumor or a news item, so it's not part of this discussion. We're not going to talk about
it
again.
Yeah, we'll see what
under your hat. We'll talk about it in the future.
Yeah.
Next, in order of interest, we have Infamous Second Son. And this is where I start to get legitimately interested in the lineup of games for the PlayStation 4, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw this trailer, it was, you know, it's very pretty, and there's action, and it's gritty, and it's a street-level guy moving, doing almost, like, parkour-style-y stuff for running upstairs and shit. And I was like, okay, what is this? And then, bam, superpowers and, like, human tornadoes and, like, red eyes. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's, like, superpowered. And then it's, like, Infamous Second Son. And I'm like, yup, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Infamous was one of the strongest franchises on PS3, for sure. Good game.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Infamous games. I really like both of the main games, and I also really, really like the side game where there's vampires and shit, so...
And you like when your partner dressed up as him for Halloween.
Yeah, that was really great. That was super good. So,
no, it looks great.
Let's see. We have Square Enix coming out to make an announcement that they are working on a PlayStation 4 Final Fantasy project to be announced at E3.
Do you think it's 15?
I don't know what I think anymore. I felt sure that 15 would be a PS3 game, but I kind of feel like with this early announcement of the PS4, maybe it's gonna be a PS4 game, and the last Final Fantasy PS3 game will be Versus 13.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it's gonna be Versus 13, but it might be 15.
I think probably what we're gonna see with a lot of, developers is that, you know, like we said, we didn't think that at first it would be very wise for Sony to release a new console this year, and I'm still a little cautious, but...
Well, I still have two games to mention here, and then I want to make a point tied into what you're saying
okay,
right now.
Okay, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
The next two, and these are in order of excitement, we have a port of Witcher 3,
cool.
which has been announced for PC as well. I'm excited, I think the Witcher games are great.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like them.
And also, the one I'm most excited about is Watch Dogs. This is, of course, a next-gen port of the current-gen game Watch Dogs. It looks great. It looks like Assassin's Creed goes cyberpunk almost, and I'm here for that.
The funny thing is that I remember when Watch Dogs was first announced, and before we even knew it would be on PS4, I was like, okay, it looks all right, but remember, like, everyone was like, oh my god, it looks so good. But
yeah, I was a little late to the party on this one. But
same here.
Watching this gameplay demo that they did at the PS4 event, how they were chasing down like a mugger that was about to mug this woman, and every person the player character walked by, that he was getting like full details on their life through his like cyber combat connection or whatever.
I am so here for that.
Like, I am here for that. So I'm very excited for this game. But tying this into what you were just saying, we look at this theoretical early release of the, or early announcement of the PS4. One thing that sticks out to me is that a lot of these launch games are ports of PC games or far-off announcements of future games where we're only getting a CG trailer because there's no gameplay to show off yet. That, to me, says we do not, like, third parties do not have games running yet. There will be a Final Fantasy game announced in a few months.
At E3.
But it's not even far enough to show you, like, a title card for. That's what that says to me. We have upports of current-gen projects and PC games.
Which will probably run really great.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be real, but...
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that we didn't actually get to see a lot of gameplay.
Yeah, which is kind of a concern because of what happened with the PS3. It did not launch with a strong library of games, and it really took a couple years for it to really have, you know, a respectable amount of things worth playing, in my opinion. And, of course, PS Plus was the game changer for me, so, you know, as long as they have PS Plus, I'm just going to say right now, and it might be a little bit of a surprise because of my strained relationship with Sony, I'm planning on getting one, hopefully at launch, but let's keep going, because I'll talk a little bit more about...
Well, that's it for games, actually.
Yeah.
I want to talk about 4 tech demos that were shown at the event. One of them, which I will get out of the way most quickly, was Capcom showing a tech demo they called Down Deep, or Project DD.
DD, like double Ds?
I guess so, but most people are taking the connection to be a sequel of some kind or spin-off to Dragon's Dogma, which, you know, DD.
Oh, that makes sense.
It looks really cool. It looks like the Demon's Souls, Dark Souls games almost, like, meets Monster Hunter, which is also pretty much what Dragon's Dogma was. So,
cool, that sounds like a good time.
I'm really excited for it, but again, they didn't really show gameplay as much as more of just, like, a CGI target of what we hope this is like. So, Square Enix trotted out the Agnes Philosophy trailer again, but this time they claim it's running in real time on PS4 hardware. You'll forgive me for being somewhat pessimistic about this ideal. However, I recall the I recall the Final Fantasy VIII ballroom scene supposedly running in real time on PS2, and that shit was a lie. So, I don't really trust Square Enix's proclamations about these sort of tech demos. Neither should you, frankly.
How come it wasn't the Final Fantasy VII tech demo? Because that should be re-released, and that's going to be the announcement they make at E3, because I like Final Fantasy VII.
Media Molecule showed a tech demo.
I love that you wouldn't even acknowledge that.
It wasn't worth acknowledging. Media Molecule showed a tech demo that has been lovingly or mockingly referred to as Fraggle Rock Band. I wish I could tell you more about it, but even having seen it multiple times, I still have no idea what they're saying.
I don't know what it is. It's like marionettes with the move, and they're doing something.
They're rocking out.
They're rocking out. They're kind of Muppet puppets, marionettes, Muppet puppets. And, you know, Media Molecule, love them or hate them, they try to do something kind of different and creative and encourage their players to be creative and... You know, so we don't know what this is, but that's cool that they're trying to think outside the box. Too bad they don't think as much outside of the box as that game company does, though.
And last, and probably least, there was an Unreal Engine 4 demo. We had seen this demo before for PC, I think. Like, it did not really seem new. Like, I feel like I saw it somewhere else. Or maybe that's just how generic it was.
It's like, yes, we know there's going to be
right.
Unreal Engines for years to come.
So I don't know if it was literally something they had shown previously, like, or maybe it just really felt that way because it was so generic. It was not even, like, so technically impressive that it stood up and was like, wow! And there were tech demos that made me feel that way, like the Capcom one. So, or even just watching the gameplay demo of Watch Dogs. I was like, wow! And the Unreal Engine 4...
Did you say it like that, where you're like, were you watching it, and you're like, wow!
Yep, damn right I was.
And then everyone was like, what?
Yeah, right?
Like, you're just like, wow!
Stop, don't do that again.
That's what you sounded like.
So, yeah, Unreal Engine 4, cool and happy. Show me some games, though, dog. I want to talk about a couple of details before we get
Give me those deets.
Before we get down to the nitty-gritty of what our thoughts on the matter are. The PlayStation 4 has been confirmed to not require an always-online internet connection.
Excellent.
One thing that we haven't talked about this thing yet is that it does have some sort of fake backwards compatibility. It will not have native backwards compatibility, so you can't just pop in your PS3 games and play them. You won't have your PS3, PSN games on your PS4. But they are attempting to achieve backwards compatibility for users through sort of an interesting online workaround. And that's using their acquisition of the Gaikai company that does streaming, not entirely dissimilar to what OnLive does, to stream to us, backwards compatible, PS3 games, PS2 games, PS1 games, so that while we don't actually have backwards compatibility, yeah, we can still play our classic games from the cloud.
And I said that kind of in a silly voice, because it's like, ooh, the cloud, but, the cloud actually is capable of some cool stuff, but she's like, ooh, cloud.
And while no one was willing to go on the record to say that native backwards compatibility was a high priority, they did acknowledge that they hope to deliver that at some point down the line. But it's just not something they can promise on or officially comment, because it's just they don't even know if that's going to work out yet. But they have the Gaikai thing going. Always online internet connection will not be required, but there will be some benefits, such as the Gaikai playing PS2, PS3, PS1 games.
Yeah, and the whole backwards compatibility thing, I just have to say, first of all, as long as I'm able to use my PSN account on PS4 and, still, have my, PS Plus subscription count towards PS4, I'm not too concerned. And this honestly might be a discussion to have another day, but the whole concept of backwards compatibility is really something that we've seen just within the past decade. A little more than that, but it's before that no one really expected it. And I mean, I guess, yes, Game Boy Color was backwards compatible, but I feel like people at this point expect it. It's like, no, you aren't owed anything. So
I think that's a fair way to feel, but I don't begrudge people who want their investments of games, especially you look at me, I literally have a stack of 60, 360 games hanging out 20 feet, not even 20, 5 feet away from me right now.
Right.
I would like it if I could continue playing those game discs next generation. But.
You still have your 360?
I still have my 360, and, it's, again, I want my next console to be backwards compatible if possible. But if the benefits of losing backwards compatibility outweigh the benefits of keeping it, that is to say, if it is way easier for developers to program not using, in the PlayStation example, not using Cell, and they have to leave Cell behind, but leaving Cell behind doesn't allow them to use backwards compatibility, then I'm sorry, but do what's best for the developers so that they
right.
can make great next-gen games for me.
I agree.
And, you're working on the Gaikai thing. Make that affordable so that I have a reasonable, acceptable workaround, and we're all good. Don't charge me hell of crazy numbers for it. But if it's a part of my PS Plus account, I'll keep my PS Plus account for that. That's all you gotta do. I'm telling you right now, Sony, if there's anyone from Sony listening to this show, please do that way. And I will happily continue to give you my money.
Same here.
Let's see. And last but not least on the details, the hotly discussed question, will used games be playable on the PS4? And all we really know right now is that Sony is aware that this is a concern. They are not outright locking used games, but that this will be an evolving discussion, which has led many people to speculate that there will be some sort of system-level online pass capability, like we have seen sort of hodgepodged together during this current generation with all online games. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, not really, but Ben Cachero over at PA Report did a piece on this, so if you have feelings about this, we suggest you go check that out. The link will, as always, be on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And, I think considering that they're moving into the streaming, the cloud, and that sort of thing, I'm not too worried. I don't buy a ton of used games.
Yeah, I, you know...
It would suck if I was completely locked out, but, you know,
I know a lot of people care a lot about returning games. I'm not one of those people. I buy a game, I pretty much keep it forever, even if I don't really like it. But I definitely think that people should have the right to sell their games, get rid of them, give them to friends. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there is definitely a discussion here. I think that used games definitely need to be supported in some context. But I also think it's fair to have a discussion about the online pass thing and how that can be leveraged in favor of the developers so that they do get compensated for, you know, their games being played.
Agreed.
So I think that that's a discussion that is at least worth having. So hopefully Sony will not be complete douches about it. I don't know how sure I think that is to happen, but hopefully. Now, what are your thoughts? And this is where we're going to break away from typical structure a little bit. I just want to know, what are your expectations, wants, predictions, questions, comments, concerns about the PS4?
I've already brought up one concern, which is that I'm worried that with the anticipated release of holiday 2013, that developers won't be ready. And, you know, that's a problem that we had with the PS3. Even though the PS3, I don't know, how long was it between the PS2 and the PS3?
Quite a few years. I mean, it was a number of years for sure. I couldn't tell you for sure off the top of my head, though. Like, years. It was years.
It was years. But it was only like 5 or so years, right?
I would be inclined to say, yeah, like 5.
That said, I mean, I don't know. It has been
Gosh,
7 or 8.
If I had known that you were going to make a point like that, I would have been prepared ahead of time.
The thing that's interesting is that it's been about, by the time this launches, it'll have been about 7 or 8 years since the PS3 launch.
Well, they were saying initially they wanted the PS3 to
have a 10-year life cycle.
10-year life cycle.
And I always argued that the PS2 should have had a 10-year life cycle before the PS3 even entered the picture. I strongly believe that. But,
you know, I will say, and my view has evolved a little bit. I pulled with President Obama. My view evolved. I actually think it's quite appropriate for the PlayStation 4 to be announced this year. I don't think it's a great idea necessarily for it to be launching this year. I think that it would have been best if they had done a slow burn announcement, let hype boil over, let us all be super stoked, give us bits and pieces of information, and then launch it in 2014 when there are some AAA high quality,
yeah,
great caliber games ready, and hopefully some cool ass niche RPGs as well, JRPGs as well. But, I do feel like, you know, an 8 year span between games and new consoles. And I've recently gotten into PC gaming, and I'm going to explain why that ties in.
Yeah.
Something that I've been doing recently is just buying multiplat games on PC, which I never really thought I'd do. Because my PC, which was cheap even when I built it, you know, compared to what I always expected, it runs all of these games so much better than the console versions. Like, I am joined the legion of PC gamers who feel like console gaming is holding back PC gaming right now. And that is the prime reason why I have changed my mind to now I think it's time for new consoles to get the ball rolling. I don't think it's time for them to release yet, but get this tech out there, get people working at target specs that are way higher than they currently are, so that PCs where, like, I have this great video card that, like, it doesn't even break a sweat running games at, you know, like, max settings. Like, give me something that can really, that my video card can really bite into and flex its muscle. Like, I think it really kind of sucks that even games that are supposed to be super impressive right now just are like, oh, I could be running this better if they allowed me to.
Yeah, so... And that's the interesting thing about PC gaming, too, is that, you know, we think about, like, oh, PS3 launched too soon, PS4 might launch too soon, but PC gamers, it's just kind of, like, constantly, like, You know, they might add parts or build a new box. So, I mean, I guess it's, as console gamers, as two gamers...
There was 6 years between PS2 and PS3, by the way.
Okay. So I guess it's actually been just about even a little bit longer since the PS3, hasn't it, already? Wow.
Yeah, the PS3 came out in 2006.
2006, yeah, so it'll be about 7 years since then. Wow, okay, so, I mean, I guess the timing's about right. I just feel like a little bit too early. I think because they jumped the gun with the PS3, they're like, oh, we gotta beat Microsoft this time. But the thing is like, I'd rather ensure that they have the software support. You know, and it does look like that they're doing things that
they're working.
It looks like
on.
They learned their lessons. And you know, one thing that we haven't even talked about yet is the social aspects that the PS4 is going to promise.
I didn't really talk about it at all in drafting my notes for this show because I don't care about those.
You don't care about being able to do a Let's Play?
Not really, but you're right. It's worth discussing. So why don't you discuss this and then I can give you my opinions?
Well, I mean, I think just very briefly, the interesting thing is when we were talking about the Wii U back in November, right before it launched, and actually right after it launched too, we did our little two-piece Wii U Rising discussion, and we were kind of talking about the next-gen consoles and what we wanted to see. And our overall, what we kind of were focusing on is that we wanted to see them provide better social experiences. Now, do you think that you don't really think that there's much going on PS4-wise? Social, their social network?
You know, they really sold at this conference, you know, they discussed how your friends will be able to stream your gameplay and watch you play if you let them, and then, like, you can all talk about it in chat or whatever so that you can, like, discuss strategies or, like, no, bro, that's not how you do this. And it's supposed to allow, like, the technology to, like, if you both have the game, to be like, oh, here, let me take over your single-player game for you so I can help you beat this boss, and then you can take it back over and play the rest of the game.
Really?
Yeah, they talked about that.
I must have missed that part.
And there's a share button on the controller to like, oh, I want to send this video to YouTube. Like, I guess the console has dedicated hardware on board to record like the last 15 minutes of play that you've done so that at any time in real time, you can just be like, oh, that 15 minutes was great. Let's put it on YouTube. And I think that these things are cool.
They're just not deal breakers. I mean,
they're not deal makers.
Deal makers, that's what I mean.
Like, for me, they're cool, but I don't even know if I'll ever use any of them. Like, they're just, those are not things
but, I mean, I guess
that
the thing,
I'm personally super invested
the thing
in.
To take away from it is at least they're thinking social, and a lot
of people are trying to break out of the box.
A lot of people's criticism about the PS3 and the 360 to a certain degree is that the social experiences seemed really tacked on. Because I guess you have to consider back in 2005, 2006, MySpace was still kind of like the big social network. Facebook was just getting started, really, and it was just starting to branch out from being a university thing. And I promise there's a point here.
Where is it, though?
You know, Twitter had yet to come around. Tumblr had yet to come around. My point is that last generation of consoles was just when social networking was really starting to take off. And so the social experiences on the current gen, which soon to be last gen consoles, it was kind of like an afterthought. These consoles, Wii U, PS4, and then, I mean, presumably there'll be some sort of social aspect to the Durango.
Presumably, yeah.
These were designed in a world where, you know, social media and networking and interacting has really taken the forefront. So, and I mean, like we said on the Wii U episode, that's really where an important part of the evolution of gaming, I think. So, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's a deal maker, like you said, but I think it's cool. And I've always thought that one of these days, you know, we'd probably have to get a good enough rig for it, but I'd like to do some Let's Play, Game Buoy Let's Plays one day. So, maybe the PS4 will allow us to do that, but I'd rather do it another way. Side note, but, that said, you know, it's good to see that they're thinking social is what I can say. I still don't think that it's as unique as what the Wii U offers with asynchronous gameplay, and I highly doubt that they're going to have anything quite as special as the Miiverse, which is just really, really an exceptional community. I mean, I'm just continue to be impressed by, I haven't really seen any D-bags on there.
They're on there, but they just all get moderated so quickly that it's not a non-issue.
And,
it's
you know,
like
even,
they don't exist.
Even, like, game developers, and people from the industry in, like, are able to have, like, the verified accounts, you know, similar to, like, what Twitter does with verified accounts, but I think that's, now I'm having a Wii U discussion, but I'm just saying that, you know, bottom line, maybe not as cool as what the Wii U is offering, but good that they're thinking social, which I've said 5 times. You were talking about the controller. I want to talk to you about the controller.
Well, the thing that I like the most about Sony's overall philosophy with their social...
Agnes philosophy.
With their social bent is that I like that they're thinking out of the box and doing something that no one else has done yet. Because I feel like a really common complaint about Sony since they got into the games industry has been that every step in their blueprint to success or their business model has been taken more or less wholesale from their competitors. And I feel like this new, like, let's buffer 15 minutes of video on separate hardware at all times so that you can share it. Let's give people the ability to let their friends stream their games live, like all games. Let's give people the ability to have a friend give them help and take over their control inputs with, you know, permission.
I know that would help me.
To get past a hard part in, like, a jumping platformer.
I'd be like, hey, Captain Spike.
Like, these are things that I actually think no one has done yet that should be done.
You just don't know how much you will personally use them.
So I don't know that they're for me, but when I step back and analyze it as, like, oh, that's their business plan for their social aspect, like,
when you compare that,
I actually think that that's a great roadmap that they sort of did themselves.
When you compare that to their roadmap for the PS3, it just definitely seems like they've learned some lessons.
It's cool. Let's just add motion control, like, 2 months before we release, and then we'll have it be poorly supported by games and break games by including it.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I have to say, my biggest concern is not having a strong enough launch library, but, I mean, we've still got some great things that look like they're coming at launch. So, I mean, you know, I don't need to buy 10 games at launch unless it's Wii U. Okay, seriously, bought 10 Wii U games at launch.
Yeah, no, me too.
But, you know, most console launches, I'm like, okay, 2 or 3 good launch games, that's good for me, but, you know.
Yeah, you can get Diablo 3.
Thanks, but, you know, I think not
I should troll you and get you Diablo 3 for Christmas.
I'd play it, I guess. Maybe. I'd stream it, and I'd do snarky streaming.
Oh, now see that
snarky streaming coming
snarky
soon from Game Buoy.
Coming from Game Buoy.
Maybe not though.
Probably not. Though.
You know, that said, I have to stand back and think about consumers in the wider sense. Like, I can't just think like, oh, 3 games is enough for me. 3 good games that I want. I'm similar to other gamers in that, like, 2 or 3 good launch games that'll keep them satisfied, but the 2 or 3 games I want aren't going to be the same 2 or 3 games someone else wants. So that's why it's always good to have a diverse launch library. And
well, I mean, let's be real. If this thing launches with Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs, are you telling me you wouldn't be here for that? They'd be available on other consoles.
No, I would be here for both of those and Infamous Second Son. I mean, like I said, those would be like my 2 or 3 for sure, but there are people out there who might not be into that, and so it's important for them to have other experiences available, which I think that Wii U, even, like, you know, we were like, we're not going to talk about the sports ones for Wii U because we aren't sports gamers, but there are sports games out there. So, I mean, I think it's important to have diversity, and I just worry that the suddenness of their launch, I mean, we don't have a specific date set aside from holiday 2013, but you know, I worry, that's my biggest concern, but if that's the biggest concern, that's not too bad. Because, you know, I know I'll be okay, and PS3 somehow managed to not sink.
Yeah, they pulled it together. They patched the holes in their ship and they got back on the Grand Line.
You know, it's just, strangely, I've come to have a fondness for Sony over the past couple months.
Good, good. You know, and, I try really hard to be platform agnostic, so.
And I think I just don't want to, even though I'm sure, like, it's not going to kill the PS4 just to have upscaled ports, I just don't want them to have to lose more money and be junk status, continue to be junk status because of this decision. But I want to talk about that controller. Because,
okay, well, talk about it, because we're an hour and 40 minutes in.
What did you think of the controller at first?
It looks derpy.
It looks derpy, but I actually, it's kind of grown on me.
Uh-huh. It just looks like a big boy DualShock, basically.
Yeah, but those kind of, like, weird, like, almost nipples for analog sticks. I was like, oh, another, like, touchpad thingy similar to the Vita, which I complained about a lot, but... I actually kind of, it's kind of grown on me. It does, it looks like a big boy DualShock, so. And it has, you know, the share button, so I mean, it's their mission statement. They want to be social, so. It's good.
Okay, let's see. We talked a little bit about what you thought about the controller, about the game lineup coming up.
Concerns.
What would you like to see happen going forward? Like, what kind of software support would you like it to get?
As far as software goes, you know, I want to see some of the, like, we've got Infamous continuing, that's great. I want to see some of the Sony's, you know, long-running franchises continue to evolve. I want to see some really creative new platform-exclusive IPs come to the console that will really, you know, kind of, because I think that was, for a long time, kind of the weakness until we got things like Infamous, so... You know, I really want to see people embrace what Sony's offering this time instead of being like, oh, cell processor, and then, you know, I think that it'll be good because, you know, I think it'll be better for developers, and yeah, so I think it's gonna be a better run for them than the PS3 has been. That was really rocky for them and for a lot of us consumers too, so I overall, I'm cautious, but I have a good feeling. And I have to say, before this event, I was like, I don't know if I want a PS4. Just got my new PS3. But now I'm pretty sure that, if not at launch, shortly after, I'll probably get one. But I would like to get one at launch. So, I mean, that I think that in itself is significant. The fact that I am willing to say, yeah, if I can afford it, I will get a PS4 at launch.
Excellent.
What about you, Captain Spike?
Yeah, no, I'm all in. I'll definitely pre-order one as soon as they go up. I'm really hoping that we get some new games by Nipponichi. I'd really like to see, you know, a new Disgaea game on the
PS4. Oh, yeah, sure. That seems almost inevitable.
Really looking forward to whatever Square Enix has up their sleeve.
We'll find out in a few months.
Both in terms of Final Fantasy, as well as, you know, I'm sure that with the new generation will come some new experimentations and... I don't think that Square Enix gets quite enough credit for some of the non-Final Fantasy stuff they do. So I'm looking forward to that, sort of the last remnants of the next gaming generation. JRPGs that were underappreciated, that is to say. I'm just very generally very excited about new hardware. Not for, oh, prettier graphics, but just to some degree, better hardware does allow for room for greater innovation in terms of design and bigger worlds to explore. And I'm just really looking forward to having a PS4 Wii U combo in my living room.
Excellent.
In closing, I want to wrap this up. Sony, on the day of the conference, made an attempt to manufacture viral hype before the show using the hashtag PlayStation Memories. This drew some ire, but we're removed enough from that situation at this point. Thanks, Plague. That we want to play along a little bit here on the SS Game Buoy. Slagkick, tell me a good hashtag PlayStation Memory of yours.
Now, are we being snarky like the social medias? Or...
Whatever you'd like to do.
You know, I think my hashtag PlayStation memory has to be like an actual sincere one. I remember finally picking up a PS1 because I was a couple years behind, and I just remember that first summer because it was like right after school had gotten out. I was like maybe a freshman in high school at that point. And I just like discovering all these cool ass games for the PS1, like Jammer Lammy, and you know, that finally got me into Final Fantasy. Like I said on our Final Fantasy episode, it was my interest in Final Fantasy that, you know, other people saying, oh, you gotta check this out, that got me into Sony. So I just kind of think that initial magic almost of first playing with Sony.
You know, it's funny because I have a very, 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 very similar PlayStation memory, hashtag. I was a late buyer into the PlayStation world.
Oh, really?
I had a Saturn and a Nintendo 64.
Oh, yes, you did.
Both, you know, pretty quick. But I did not get a PS1 right away. I held off. I saw the demo for Final Fantasy VII. I was already a huge Final Fantasy fan at this point. I was very disappointed. I played it in the local Funko Land because they had a bunch of like little playable stations.
Yeah.
I did not care for Final Fantasy VII at all. But then I saw a video demo at Funko Land on like some demo disc or another of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh,
and
yes.
And as soon as a black mage in this demo came out and cast, like it was one of the times where she did one of her incantations before casting the spell and then set an enemy on fire, I literally that day put plan into motion to buy a PlayStation. Like I had to, you know, save money for it. But that was the day I was like, oh, actually that looks great. Time to buy a PlayStation.
Yeah.
So you know, my PlayStation memory is being blown away by Final Fantasy Tactics and realizing that I had to by the Final Fantasy Tactics preview and deciding that I needed to have a PlayStation now.
That's great. You know, and that kind of just puts it in perspective that looking back on it, you know, the PlayStation 1 had a lot of cool-ass games, and PS2 was pretty legit. I mean, even though GameCube was better, yes, personal opinion, you know, I think really putting it into perspective, PS3 is just where it let me down. And I mean, yes, part of that was the hardware failure, but you know, I really think I've come to appreciate Sony more, and I really hope that PS4 is going to be a good run for them.
Excellent. All right, well, I think that wraps it up for the PlayStation conference. Truly, we could go on another hour, but I'd really, jumbo-sized episode or not, would really prefer not
to. Yeah, let's not do that.
So instead, let's talk about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
What have you been playing, Dublin?
I'm going to keep this really quick. They're both kind of similar in scope, I guess you could say. Even though I haven't officially finished Pokemon White 1, or Pokemon White, I started playing Pokemon White 2 because I wanted to get, there was a Keldeo or something, it was like a fighting slash water type dog thing, whatever. So it was a, you know, Wi-Fi connection giveaway. So I'm like, okay, I've got to start a file so I can get that. Even though I guess I could have gotten it on my White copy as well, but. Like, okay, I went in on my White 2, and I actually ended up playing for about 15 hours, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I took a break, because I'm like, you know, I do want to finish White 1, because there's, like, certain ways that it, like, links up, and then you can, like, get, like, special, like, not shiny Pokemon, but, like, almost shinies, because of events from the first game, and so, you know, I kind of want to go back and wrap up the first one first so that I can get it. And then, like, if you have the legendary from that one in your party and then the legendary from the other one in your party, like, you get the special Zekrom or I don't know. I'm not as able to keep track of all these Pokemons anymore, but, you know, there's benefits for completing both and then having, like, the, you know, synced up with your old game. So, that was that. And then I also finally, I don't know if I mentioned this on air, but I had been very excited for Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, which I still almost messed up. Of course, being a level 5 and Studio Ghibli collaboration, I am here for that. And so I pre-ordered it, and then my pre-order from Amazon came damaged, like almost like it had been vandalized or mutilated in the mail. So I was not able to jump on the Ni No Kuni train when everyone else did. And so it took me a while to finally get to it, and I had a busy February's, but I finally got to it, and it's pretty neat. I mean, a lot of people are just like, oh, it's the best JRPG in years and years and years. I don't know if I'd say that, but it's neat. It's definitely got tones of Ghibli. Ghibli,
It's Ghibli. Giblets.
Giblets. I feel embarrassed. I always mess that up, but, it's because the GH is not part of the Japanese alphabet, so that's what messes
Your
me up.
Your mom's not part of the Japanese alphabet. No, really. She's not. Think about it.
Your mom.
Okay, that's just racist. Stop.
I'm just bad at speaking Japanese. I'm not being racist. Anyway, so I'm about, gosh, I don't know, I'm like 10 hours in. And, you know, it's neat, but the one thing I'm kind of noticing is it seems, and it might just be that I'm, like, trying to, do a lot of the side quest stuff or whatever, but it seems like there's a lot going on, so I don't know if I'm, like, I'm not saying it's unfocused, but apparently, like, later on there's, like, gambling you can do, which is cool, but I guess I'm just trying to figure out kind of what the focus of it is, but it's neat, it's cute, and I'll probably get back to it at some point, so.
Excellent, excellent. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. You have a funny definition of short. So I played in chief, 4 games over the last 3 chronological weeks. That is Fire Emblem, Final Fantasy XI, Star Wars The Old Republic, and Metal Gear Rising. Fire Emblem, I'm still wildly in love with. I'm now at the, 40-hour mark. I've done, all of the side quests you could possibly do. I've grinded all of my characters up to incredibly high levels, and I just don't want to finish. So I've been putting that off and grinding more, even though I'm no longer really benefiting from grinding. I'm really taken by the world and the characters and the story, and I'm really going to be sad to be done with it. Final Fantasy XI is exactly how it always has been. They made a lot of changes, so you can solo now, and you level super fast.
That's great. I might need to check that out, because my PC can't really handle 14, I don't think.
So, it's really cool. Yeah, I'm really happy with it. I might not stay subbed forever, but I'll probably stay subbed for a couple
months. Are you kind of gearing up for 14, Realm Reborn?
Definitely, definitely. Star Wars Old Republic, my partner really wanted to play it, so I reinstalled it. I bought a 2-month subscription card. I didn't want to, subscribe, because I'm almost sure that my interest will be gone in 2 months, so whatever. I'm having fun with it. I love BioWare. I love that style of game.
Yeah, I need to download it just so I can finish my Bounty Hunter story.
Yeah, it's cool.
Because, you know, I love BioWare, and I think as a single-player experience, it was pretty neat.
And then last, and certainly not least, Metal Gear Rising. I'm only 3 or 4 hours in. I understand that the main game is actually somewhat short, but I'm pretty sure I'm not at the halfway mark yet. It's definitely their most demanding, most exacting character action game so far.
Oh, interesting.
I love it. I'm really definitely involved and very, very much looking
forward
to finishing it.
So you would say it's a lot more hardcore than Bayonetta then?
I would. I think Bayonetta is more accessible in terms of reaction time and being forgiving on being attacked. And
well, sounds like I might have a little trouble with Rising. I also ordered it, just haven't had a chance to play it yet, but might be a little challenging for me, but never bad thing to have challenge.
And that's it for me.
Well, great.
I think it's time to finally dust off this new thing we've been working on.
This new old thing, in a way.
This new old thing.
Oh, this old thing?
Oh, this new old thing.
This new old thing. That was we had our one, already, so.
Yeah.
So,
All right, it's time for Smash or Trash! So we here at Game Buoy have always made it a point to point out, really just atrocious writing in games journalism. What's that?
No, just thinking about some of the shitters that we've, seen. Some of that dung pile.
And we've tried to sort of change our focus to also emphasize great examples of games writing out there. Which is surprisingly sometimes harder than you might think.
Yeah.
So, in an attempt to no longer specifically bash Kotaku with our lol Taku of the Week, we don't want to read people and feel bad about it. We're just going to sort of take a little bit of a step back and just point out, maybe comment where applicable, but just show you, link you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
to one great article and one flop article every week.
A smash and a trash.
This week our smash, so this is a great article, is on Kotaku, and it is The Rise and Fall of Super Day, a Most Unusual Video Game Hacker. You might be familiar with Super Day as having been the chief source of pre-release or pre-announcement information on the PlayStation 4 and Durango, Microsoft's next-gen console.
Yeah.
He was raided by the FBI as well as the enforcement agencies of several different parts of the world.
Yeah, because he's down in Australia.
And Kotaku put together just a really incredible write-up. They did a lot of really great investigative journalism and really, I would say, went above and beyond what was required for their blog to run this story. So credit on them. This is a great piece.
Steven Totillo, amazing investigative journalism here. And I feel sometimes like Totillo is like got these stories that he's working on and really making them good and then puts out some of the other crap he does just to have content on the site when he's really trying to focus. So, I mean, I guess it's just good to see that, you know, even when we've bashed on people at Kotaku, they're capable of great quality writing. So, you know, good job, Totillo. Good job, Kotaku.
And our trash this week, unfortunately, is also on Kotaku. Immediately following the PlayStation conference that we were just talking about, Kotaku ran a story called, "So, no Final Fantasy Versus 13, huh?" Basically just whining that Final Fantasy Versus 13 was not shown at the PlayStation Sony conference 2013.
It was just some more Brian Ashcraft complaining.
Like, look, I get it. That's fine that you guys are unhappy that you haven't heard more about Versus 13. I know that some of your biggest influxes of traffic were when you have complained about Versus 13 in the past.
And, you know, when you ran that story about...
When you created a rumor.
Yeah.
But whatever. Honestly, I don't want to harp on all that. It's whatever. This is not... It's not a good article.
And the thing is
you're
is that
complaining
if
about something having not been shown... This was not a general what to look forward to in PlayStation in 2013. This was PlayStation 4, the event.
And if it had been an opinion piece that had actually been, like, had some valid things to say, I would have maybe been a little bit more accepting of it. But it was literally just, like, copypasta from comment threads on, like, forums and stuff.
So if you're looking for sort of the Game Buoy-style guide of what to do or what not to do, look at our smash as this is what you want your site to be. Look at trash as please don't do this.
Yeah. And we hope that what we serve you here at Game Buoy is always a smash.
I would not make those judgment calls for our listeners. We've definitely let out some stinkers, friend. Wah, wah. And with that, I think it's time to move on to our social links.
Indeed.
Except we put out a question of the week on Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter, and nobody answered it.
Sniff, sniff, cry. And we know that this is a new feature that we're trying to roll out and that you might not be aware of it quite yet, but keep an eye out on all of our social media, whatever one you follow. And, you know.
Anyway, if you want to answer us now, please do.
Yeah,
we just want to know basically what do all y'all bitches think about the PlayStation 4.
We don't actually think you're bitches.
No, not at all. That's a term of endearment.
Endearment. We're getting a little Ermagerd here, so let's
endearment.
We did have some general feedback though.
Oh, we're at just about the 2-hour mark, so of course we are.
Yes, we are. We did have some general feedback, not related to the social links question.
Do you want to go over that?
Yeah, we had Flacco Jones, who is the number one Horde House fan, said, BTW, the last GameBuoy.org show was great. I was stuck in terrible traffic, but cracking up thanks to your DICE Awards summary. Thanks,
aww,
Flacco.
Thanks, Flacco.
Like we said, we'd love to...
We like you, too.
We like you, too, and we had fun doing the awards scene. We'll probably do something like that
at the end of the year. It will probably be a little more elaborate, in fact. It's going to be delightful. Look forward to it.
Yeah. And, we also had Nintendog said, when is your next show, please, PLZ? Well, right now, if you're listening to it, yeah. Thanks you for being so patient. You know, like we said,
for being the friend.
You know, we had a bout of the plague, but, you know, we're back in action. The ship's sailing, and we got lots coming up this next couple months, so Game Buoy will be here to bring it to you. And we want to hear from you. We love you.
Well, let's try to wrap this up at 2 hours, shall we?
Let's do it. So,
as ever and always, we live and die by your feedback. We require your iTunes subscriptions and ratings.
We don't require
views.
We would just like them. But we require your tweets.
We love Twitter. We now have a Tumblr. What's the address for that?
Tumblr is gamebuoy.tumblr.com.
What is our Twitter?
Our Twitter is at gamebuoy.org with .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
What is our Google Plus?
If you want to find us on Google Plus, you can either search for us on Google Plus or you can go to gamebuoy.org where you will see a social links section in the sidebar.
So why are you not giving our address on Google Plus?
Because listeners who were around for last episode, if there aren't any new listeners this week, hello and welcome to the show. We hope you've enjoyed it. But last week's listeners and those who have been longtime listeners will remember that I gave out the entire Google Plus URL last time, and it was just like a hodgepodge of numbers, and I'm surprised that they don't have any, like, profile URL names. Like, really, get on that, Google.
You can also email us. What are those email addresses?
Captain Spike can be reached at cpt.spike@gamebuoy.org. Oh, you're not doing the repeating thing anymore.
Nope.
And I'm at slagkick@gamebuoy.org. And, of course, our home base is always gamebuoy.org.
Girl, I was not done. So I noticed I didn't see our email addresses on gamebuoy.org. Are they not there?
What do you mean?
I mean that I ran a web search for my gamebuoy.org email address. I didn't find it on the website.
Well, then maybe I'll get a contact page up or something.
Maybe you should.
That would probably be a good thing. All right, and
brilliant. It's time for them shout-outs, dude. You want to start? Get it going.
You get it going! You want me to do mine first?
Yes, okay. I just told you to do it.
Okay, fine. Usually you do yours first. Wow, okay. We love our dudes over at the Nerdgasm Network, the wildest 3 hours of Shock Jock video game radio you'll ever come across.
Is it really 3 hours?
Sometimes. And hey, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot different
That's
from what
awesome.
We serve up here, but you know, they're rowdy and raunchy and I love it. And they do a lot of live streams too. Super cool. If you like World of Warcraft, you should check out the Best Little Horde House in Azeroth, the place for World of Warcraft news, but never too seriously, featuring Rob Roberts from Orange Island Radio and some of his best buddies, and also Girls Gone Wild, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And, of course, we also love our friends over at Video Game Outsiders, where you get video gaming from the average player's perspective. Captain Spike, give me those shout-outs of yours.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready? Well, this is really out of order. I usually like to shout out to this last, but you could go to Zelda Reorchestrated if you want to check out the source of our awesome theme music. I love them, and I love Zelda music, and they like to do these remasters with, like, their own synthesized things, and it's really cool. So if you like hearing our... you like hearing
thank you for doing that.
Not me doing that, but if you like hearing our theme music, which I have to say it's funny because I was listening to our old episodes a while back and I'm like, oh, I forgot that we used to use Dragon Roost Isle because I'm just so in love with this theme music from Zelda Reorchestrated from the Wind Waker credits theme. So,
you know, and I'm going to get my shout outs out now.
About time.
First up
says the bitch who wanted to wrap this episode up like 10 minutes ago.
First up is Koopa Club. If you like what we do, but you wanted a little gayer and maybe more Nintendo-oriented, and I say maybe, of course, because they're actually not as strictly Nintendo as I used to think they were. I've been listening recently, and they're still super Nintendo-oriented, but...
We love Nintendo fanboys.
We do. We really do. Especially cute gay ones. So they
Yeah, they're super cute.
Yeah, right? But they were talking a lot about Dead Space and stuff, and that's actually cool because we don't cover that here at all. Like,
yeah,
that is not my
bag. Good, even for Nintendo fanboys to have a open mind.
Yeah,
so good.
We dig them, check these guys out, they're great, and we definitely love what they do. I love what they do, I definitely listen to them.
I love if they do me.
I'm not going to comment on that, though.
Well, that's because
you've been partnered. Of course, Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I take so many of my cues. Although, also, of course, Retronauts, which I think that everyone should go out and peruse their entire library right now, drop everything, and download them all! And, of course, I want to point out Slagkick and I's other podcast.
Seasonal podcast.
Reading is Fun, Demental, the seasonal show where we sip tea and dish dirt on Logo's highest-rated drag queen competition reality show, RuPaul's Drag Race, along with Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio.
I just have to say that Rob Roberts is basically, like, who I try to take all my cues from when I try to host a show. And that's why I...
You take your cues from Rob, I'll take mine from Jeremy Parrish of Retronauts, and together we'll be the ultimate Voltron of podcasting.
I'll take more than that from Jeremy Parrish.
Oh my. With that, I think it's time...
Keep gaming, stay classy.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
See you, Space Samurai.
Space Samurai.
Welcome to Game Buoy.
Welcome to Game Balls.
Your Balls and Boob Emporium.
Balls and Boob Emporium!